As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, and they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new, and I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you, and to me that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
A battlefield where we must fight each day to overcome the evil one and send him on his way. My commander is Almighty God, and there's no greater near or far. I may lose a battle now and then, but I've already won the war. When you're afraid and all alone, daily task of getting by has caused you to despair. Here's what you do. Just take God's word into your heart and on his promise stand. You may lose a battle now and then, but the victory's in God's hand. You can have this confidence that helps to see it
Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be back in the Lord's house tonight. Amen. Again, enjoying the singing. Boy, I'm sitting there when we first started with the congregational singing and just thought of how God uses the songs to speak to our heart. And then I begin to think, how does this song affect me? And the songs we sing, they're scriptural. I mean, they're not just songs. The world today, even the Christian world, you know what I'm saying? They're always writing songs, and they they kind of rhyme and all that kind of stuff. But that's about as far as they go. They have no real message to them. The songs we sing, my friend, were written by folks that that went through the valley that they're singing about. Okay, it is well with my soul. I mean, songs like that were written not just to make money. As a matter of fact, it wasn't even written at all to make money. Amen. It was written by someone that went through a valley of life. And I know you've heard the story of that, but it was written by someone. And that's what the songs are that we sing. They're songs that God is using people that have been through those valleys. And, I think of the song last night. Miss Pam sang about God leads His dear children along, some through the water, some through the flood, on and on. And it goes, but all through the blood, amen. Right. And I thought, dear Lord, isn't that awesome? Yeah. And those songs are the ones that move us. Right. I mean, move us to the worship, amen, right. To worship God, not the flesh. It's not.
Right.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not about that, amen.
Right.
It's not about the flesh. I've often said I don't mind the clapping the hands. I don't mind the patting with the foot as long as it starts here.
Right.
But most of it starts here,
right,
and never gets to here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And so I praise the Lord for the singing. I just thank God for it. And it's all Him. Amen. It's all Him tonight. Open your Bibles to, my goodness, I don't even know where to start tonight. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Got so many verses of scripture running through my mind. Let me give you this one. In Isaiah chapter 59. In Isaiah chapter... Ephesians is where I want you to turn, okay? And you're welcome to follow me with this one. But Isaiah 59 and verse number 19 says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Now that's speaking about when the devil comes after us and he comes against us with mighty force. And he's doing that today.
Right.
He's advancing with force. He's not just barely gaining ground today. He's advancing with force today.
Right.
And it seems like we're unaware. He's catching us all. If you ever, I know men have done this, boys have done this, but sometimes I can't picture a woman doing this. But anyway, sometimes men will grab each other's hand, to shake hands and kind of push, just that little tug of war. And if you're not careful, someone will do that, and they'll catch you off guard, and they'll just here they go with. I think that's where the Christian world is tonight. We've been caught off guard.
Yeah.
That's not an excuse. That's a shame.
Right.
But we've been caught off guard. And we get caught off guard in our life, don't we, as Christians? We do. The devil begins to push, and we're not accustomed to it. We're not ready for it. Our minds are maybe in the world.
Right.
Things about the world have got us thinking about them. And all of a sudden the devil begins to push. And boy, I mean, he literally just shoves us. Amen. Well, that's what the Bible is talking about. That when the devil comes at us like a flood, God will lift up a standard. It's talking about God will stand on our behalf. God will stand between us and him. I mean, there's a lot of things that fit in there. I think of this. I think of over there in 1 Samuel, where you remember where the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant from the Israelites and the children of God. It doesn't seem to bother them at first.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't bother them at first.
Right.
I mean, it's just something they, as a matter of fact, it didn't bother them in such a manner that they got accustomed to not having God with them. Amen.
Yeah.
They got used to it. God help us. I think that's where a lot of us have gotten tonight. We've got used to God not really being with us. Listen, I know that once we get saved, He comes into our heart and He abides with us forever. I'm aware of that, my friend. But at the same time, it's like sometimes He was with Israel, though He wasn't with Israel.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And finally, they begin to miss the Lord.
Yeah.
The Bible used the word lamented. They begin to lament after the Lord. And they cried out to God, and they began to get things right. And Samuel told them, said, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, put away your strange gods. And then he says this on down there in another verse, I think, or right after that. He says, and the Lord will help you whip your enemies. Amen. You know what they begin to do? Boy, they begin to get right with God. They begin to confess their sins. They begin to get things where they ought to be. And the enemy heard about it. The Philistines, they heard about it. And they come with force to where the Israelites were. And they were there because they had gotten word. They knew there was something going on down there with Israel.
Right.
They was getting things right. You know what? They were praising the Lord. They were worshiping God. They were repenting of their sins, and it caused such a commotion. The enemy heard it going on and knew there was something going on, and the enemy said, we got to get down there and put a stop to it. You know tonight the devil wants to put a stop to this revival. Don't you know that? Amen. He does. You say, well, Brother Danny, there's nothing great happening anyway. Yeah, he's getting to you, isn't he? Huh? You let me tell you something. If we move this close to the Lord, it's been worth the whole 2 weeks. Amen. But God's not satisfied with that. God wants our whole heart. As they're beginning to get things right, Philistines heard about it, and Samuel begins to tell them, let's confess it and I'll pray for you. Boy, they got scared and they went to Samuel and they said, Samuel, please pray for us. And old Samuel began to pray, and the Bible says, and the Lord heard him. It's a good thing to have the Lord of heaven to hear you. And the Lord heard him. And as he prayed, listen to me. Here's that standard. God thundered from heaven. That's all he had to do. He thundered from heaven. And the Bible uses the word discomfited. It discomfited them. The Philistines, the enemy, it discomfited them. My friend, it shook them up. That thunder rattled them so much that it confused them as to what to do, my friend, and all they knew to do, we better run. We better run because God is coming out of heaven after us, amen? And He literally did, amen? That's that standard I'm talking about. Another occasion, we'll get to the scripture in a minute, but another occasion, my friend, was where Jehoshaphat was the king. You remember? My friend, he had disobeyed. He was a good king. He loved the Lord, but he disobeyed the Lord, and he aligned himself with the enemy. You better be careful who you befriend. Amen? This whole thing of, well, God wants us to be a friend to everybody. You better watch how far you take that.
Right.
Yes, that's true in the sense He wants us to witness to everyone.
Right.
But when you get to hanging around, folks, you become like them.
You're right.
Amen? A man and a woman is a good example of that. Husband and wife.
Yeah.
They can be totally different. They get married, all of a sudden they begin to look like one another. Ladies, I'm sorry. And men, you better watch it. But listen, I mean, here, my friend, Jehoshaphat has aligned up with the enemy, and now he, listen, the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now listen, that's a law of God, and it never changes. And there are no exceptions.
Right.
Whatsoever, you can't sow to the flesh and reap spiritual things.
Right.
He says that's not what will happen.
Right.
Listen, Jehoshaphat sowed to the flesh.
Yeah.
And he had to do some reaping.
Right.
As he's there, my friend, he's gotten things right with God, but he's still got to reap.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the Ammonites and the Hittites and Jebusites and all the other sites, amen, they begin to come against Jehoshaphat and the people of God. And boy, oh, Jehoshaphat, he stood before the people. He's the king, and he stood before the people, and he began to pray, and he began to ask God for help, and he recognized 2 Chronicles 7:14. Even though that was, I don't know, somewhere around 100 years prior to this time, my friend, it had already happened. He recognized those scriptures as being a revival. Amen. And he prayed to the Lord, and he asked God to help him. He said, Lord, you said if we'd come to your place, your house, and repent of our sins and turn from our wicked ways, that you would hear from heaven. And boy, they begin to do that. And old Jehoshaphat, he even made the statement. Now, you got to picture this. He's the king. The king never, ever, never, ever admits they're wrong, because they're never wrong, even when they're wrong. Jehoshaphat knew he was wrong. And he confessed it even before the people. He said, what have we? We have no such might against this big company of people. There's no way we can fight and win. We can't fight this battle and win. And the Lord spoke to him and spoke to the people, my friend, and told him, said, you don't even have to fight in this battle. They're all coming against you, but you don't have to fight. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And all the people begin to fall on their faces before God, following their leader, amen, Jehoshaphat. They begin to fall on their faces and get things right with God, praying, asking the Lord for help. As they went out to go to battle, instead of them getting their swords and everything right there ready, and those big soldiers getting out there on the front line, you know who headed it up? The singers. The singers. They got the singers up there, and they begin to praise the Lord and singing to the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says when they begin to do these things, my friend, that God set an ambushment against the enemy. And all those enemies begin to turn against each other and begin to fight each other. And when Jehoshaphat and the people got there for the battle, even though God said, you're not going to fight, they went ahead and went down there because God told them to. And they get there to the battlefield, my friend, and all the enemies are dead. That's that standard God will lift up. We don't have anything to worry about tonight. Well, sometimes, you know, you read, I made mention this the other night, you read the book of Revelation and it gets scary. Well, let me tell you something that'll scare you tonight. When you read all the junk that's going on, my friend, and some of it ain't going on, they're just making it up, and I'm not sure which is which. But it gets scary. When they get to talking about impeachments and they begin to talk about the rioting and they begin to talk about all of this, man, it gets you a little bit leery, doesn't it? What are we going to do? I mean, it looks like this thing's fixing to blow up and everybody's going to be fighting everybody. Right. I mean, it looks like we're going to be turning against one another. Yeah. Well, that's what the Bible says is going to happen. Yeah. Amen. I mean, sons against their dad, their fathers, and mothers against their daughters. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Well, isn't it scary? I mean, it's scary when you begin to read all that. But wait, hold on. Woo! Time out. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Why? Because we have a God. We have a God that's able. Amen. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. You stand with us tonight as we read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us tonight with the message. God, Lord, things are running through my mind. Would you help me, Lord? God, just settle me down and preach to us tonight and use us. Lord, preach to our hearts tonight, Lord. God, as you speak to us, Lord, help us to just rest in you and know that it's going to be all right if we trust you. Lord, God, be with us tonight. Lord, our world is just turned upside down. It'd be wonderful if it were turned upside down for you, But it's not. It's turned upside down by the devil and all that he runs tonight and ruins. Lord, would you settle our hearts and just help us, God, to look to you for victory, and God, to lift up that standard in our life that the devil, as he comes flooding in, Father, God, that he'd have nowhere to go. Just be a great wall there against him. Lord, help us tonight. Help the lost tonight to realize, Father, we are living in the last days. Lord, they better get saved before it's eternally too late. Help us, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says this. Thank you, and be seated. The Bible tells us that in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, we know the last part. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't know why we leave off the first part, because the first part of that verse is just as good as the last part. Listen to this. Here's what it says. It says in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God. I like that.
Right. Yeah.
You might be of God. You could be of God. There's a chance. That's not what it says. It's talking to Christians born again. He even calls us little children.
Right.
Isn't that precious?
Yeah.
Amen. But he says, my friend, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That not going to,
right,
but how?
Right.
Amen. We're overcomers.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. That means we don't travel the same road with everybody else, my friend. We're on our special trail.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
I mean a trail, my friend, that leads to life everlasting.
Yeah.
A trail, my friend, that God has ordered and put in place for you and I.
Right.
Amen. We don't have to worry and fret about the things of this world. My friend, who gets president and who doesn't? Now, we ought to be concerned about this stuff. But we don't have to fret about it. We don't have to whine about it. We don't have to get upset and can't come to church anymore because every time the preacher preaches, boy, it just upsets me and I just lose control. It's scary and my nerves won't take it. Whoa! You need to be walking with the Lord. My friend, he'll steady your path.
That's right.
He says he will establish our goings.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
There's nothing to get uptight about. Sure, we're living in the last days. Perilous times shall come. When you begin to read those things that are going to happen, I got news for you. Every one of them's already happening.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. They're happening today.
Yes.
You say, well, doesn't that upset you? No, because I know these things must come to pass.
Right.
And then we're going to be gathered out of here. Amen. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in the world.
Right.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God that's in us is greater than all this world, than all the Trumps, than all the Bidens,
right,
than all the Pelosis.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God's greater. Hey, he's greater than all the devils of hell.
Right. Yeah.
He's greater. And we are of him.
Yes.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Boy, we ought to be shouting the victory tonight.
Amen.
Glory to God. There will be no advancements against those that are walking with Jesus. Oh, there will be trying, but it won't work.
Right.
Yeah. We'll not go down in defeat. Like the song Miss Pam sang tonight. I may lose a battle now and then, but the war's already been fought and won. Amen? Praise God, Jesus won the war yonder at Calvary. It's already a done deal. I mean, when the Lord told Jehoshaphat and the people there, he said, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What he's trying to get across to them is, you don't have to worry about nothing. I got the worries. I'll take care of the worries. Amen? Praise God. We begin to read here in Ephesians. There's a lot of other verses that we could go with tonight, kind of building up the message tonight. But we quickly look at it here in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. And Jesus, he's speaking to us, and he said, finally, my brethren. Now, we know he's talking to Christians because he calls us his brethren.
Yeah.
Amen. And he says, finally. He's already through the first five chapters, my friend, and now part of chapter number 6. He's been speaking to us about how we are to walk in this life, literally live for Jesus. He's speaking to us about that. He's telling us what all takes place in our life, how we're to walk with Christ and what we are in Him. Amen? And He's speaking to us about that in the book of Ephesians. I'm so thankful that God loves us that much that it would have been good enough if all He did, and I say that and I don't want to, but you'll know what I mean. If all He did was give His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for me, that would have been good enough. Amen? But He didn't stop. He instructs us. The Bible is a book of instructions. The Bible is a roadmap. Amen? The Bible is a cookbook. The Bible is a book on marriage. The Bible is on how to rear children. Amen. The Bible is, boy, you could just go on because the Bible is, amen. But when He comes to a place where He says, I've been teaching you all of these things, He says, finally, brethren, He said, I want to get something else across to you. I want to help you with something else. All these things that He's helping us with prior to this are He's helping us with things that will help us.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. I mean, there are things that we're going to have need of in our life. And that things that will enrich our life. If that's the reason we're to read the Bible.
Right.
Because this is not just your average book.
Yeah.
This is a book of help.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. God wants to help us. You're struggling along tonight. Read your Bible.
Right.
Amen. Hey, we're struggling along with this thing about all this election stuff and what's going to happen and everything. You try to tie it with the end times and all of that kind of stuff. Listen, God says, finally, brethren, He said, I'm gonna show you something that'll help you.
Yeah.
It'll help you keep your sanity when this thing comes unglued.
Right.
Amen. Aren't you glad for that? What a God we serve tonight. Amen. And so he says there, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. He's not concerned with you being strong as far as the muscles. He says in the Lord.
Right.
He's not concerned with you going down here and working out at the club.
Right.
Amen. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying in the Lord. Amen. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, isn't it something? He says that in verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God. And look at the first part of verse number 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Must be important that we have the whole armor of God, isn't it? He begins to explain to us in a way that, especially in the Bible days, they would have understood it. He's referring to how a soldier would be suited up for battle. Amen. That's what he's dealing with. He's letting the folks know how that they're to be suited up for the battles that are coming their way. And people would have readily understood that back in those, and even in the Bible days when they were so uneducated, when they were just didn't know anything about the things of God. Amen? Isn't that strange? They knew more than what we do today. Amen?
Yeah.
He's telling them how important it is to put all of this on. He's telling them if you don't get suited up, there you'll leave a part of your life open up to the devil, and he'll be able to come in that one little area and destroy your life.
Right.
We're not talking about losing our salvation. We're talking about destroying our life.
Yeah.
Amen. Boy, there's a lot of Christians that are still alive tonight, but the devil's already destroyed their life.
Yeah.
They're going to heaven. Amen. If they're saved, they're going to heaven. Their name's written in the book of life, they're going to heaven.
Right.
But their life is nothing but a disaster zone because they left it open and the devil came in.
Yeah.
He's good about that.
Right.
He's real good about it.
Yes.
Amen. And so he's speaking to them in that manner. He says, put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, I'm going to tell you, this old devil, he's mean. And I don't want to brag on him. I just don't like to brag on him. But he's not a dummy.
Right.
I mean, in one sense he is. He's already lost this thing. And in reality, he knows it, but he won't face it. You know people like that, don't you? Amen? Well, that's where the devil is tonight. But at the same time, boy, he's a lot smarter than all of us put together. He's a lot smarter than the professors in the Bible colleges. He's a lot smarter than the professors in just any college. Amen. He is. That's how he gets in. As a matter of fact, he has used education to advance in our world. Amen. He has. He's used it, my friend, to enforce what he is. Amen. And so he's telling us there that he wants us to stand against the wiles of the devil, the allurement, the enticement that the devil has. That's what the wiles are, the trickery of the devil. Boy, he is sly, he is slick, he knows how to get in our lives, he knows how to manipulate us. My friend, that's the reason we have to be so on guard. Amen. We need to be on guard, people. We can't sit there and say, "Oh, Brother Danny, I've heard this before." Good, and there ain't. Listen, you better watch out. He'll get in your life. He'll destroy all that you believe. Amen. People have lost their minds because the devil has got in and messed with their minds. We got to be careful, folks. And listen, we say we got to be careful. And the good news is, if we're careful, we are more than overcomers. Now, if we're one of those who just go out here and we lay our armor down and say, "Well, I'm just going to try, just see if the devil does." Listen to me. Then you're not going to be an overcomer. You're going to become over. Amen. Oh, listen. The Lord is concerned with that in our lives. Amen. And so that's the reason he's warning us. And then he comes to verse number 12 and he says, "For we wrestle not." These are things that we wrestle not against. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." I wish churches would realize this. See, my battle is not with you. You may dress different than I do. You may do things a little different than I do. But my battle is not with you. It's a shame. Us preachers can't even get along. I mean, we can't even get along, Brother Jeff. We see something a little different. And the shame is, we think it's the other fellow, but we can't even overlook that enough to just walk with them. And maybe if we did, they might see things the way we see things. But instead of that, instead of giving God an opportunity to work in lives like that, we'd rather fight each other. "We're not coming to y'all's church." Now, I know there are things. You got to draw the line. Actually, you don't. God's already drawn it for us. But I know there's some things you can't fellowship about. Amen. When somebody opens that Bible and begins to read something that's not Bible, I can't fellowship with that. Amen. A preacher gets to preaching heresy, I can't fellowship with that. Amen. Years ago when we were, I'll just tell you this, I don't know how this worked out on the internet thing, but I'm just going to tell you anyway. Amen. You can ask me to leave, and probably you just tell me, I know you, you just tell me to leave, and I would expect that. Amen. I mean, really, I wouldn't expect him tippy-toe around if he's standing on the truth. Amen. But anyway, when we were pastoring, and we started a preacher's fellowship there in our community. What do you call it? Ministerial?
They call it a foundation.
Yeah, ministerial assassination, I think is what it is. And I said the last word right. Amen. And we didn't start with that title. We just started meeting the pastors in the area. I mean, the Presbyterian pastor wanted to get in on it. The Methodist pastor wanted to get in on it. The Free Will Baptist pastor wanted to get in on it. And we're having the Southern Baptist pastor wanted. We're having this good meeting. I mean, really, we're meeting together and we're fellowshipping. We're talking about how God blessed yesterday. We'd meet a lot of times on Mondays. We'd talk about how God blessed yesterday in our services and what we've got coming up, and we try to encourage one another. I find I need some encouragement. Well, I get discouraged easily by a lot of folks, amen. I need some encouragement, amen. And so we would fellowship. And so we came up with this bright idea of having a Thanksgiving service together on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And all the churches would participate. And we're going to meet together, and if we meet at Northside Baptist Church, then you're responsible for the music that night. Song leader, specials, whatever you want to have put in there, you can. And then here's another pastor over here, and he and his congregation are coming, and you're going to have opening prayer, and one's going to have closing prayer, and one's going to pray over the offering. Well, they were Baptists because they took up offering, and so you're going to pray over the offering. And so we had all that set. It went on for about 3 years. I mean, smooth and good. Well, the one that I had more fellowship with, listen to me, the one that I had more fellowship with in that group than any of the others was the Methodist pastor. They borrowed our, got to borrow in our church on a Sunday afternoon when they'd have somebody saved, and the pastor would talk them into being baptized. Amen? And he would come to me and he'd say, Brother Danny, we need to have a baptismal service. Can we use your service or your church on a Sunday afternoon in between your services? And they would come and they would and I'd always be there for the baptismal service. And we had a good relationship going. As a matter of fact, all of us did, really. We had a good relationship going. And all of a sudden, we're going to go out of town a few weeks before Thanksgiving. I don't remember what it was for, if it was preaching or whatever, but we were going out of town. We were leaving at the time they were going to be having the get together for the preachers, so we could you know, figure out what all we were going to do this year, who was where and what was what, and all that. So we decided that we're going to have it at the Methodist church, and the Methodist pastor this year is going to have the opening prayer. That's what they decided. They'd already asked her, the pastor, if that would be all right. And she, the pastor, said yes. So we get back into town. The Southern Baptist pastor calls me up. And he says, Brother Danny, have you heard how that we've got everything all planned out and where you fit into the service? I said, yes, sir, I have. I said, but let me just stop you right there. I said, we will not be able to participate this year. And he said, well, why not? What's wrong? What's wrong? I said, there's no such thing as a woman pastor. Yeah. I said, now listen, we started this thing, and it was in agreement we were going to do it the Bible way. And I said, and now y'all are doing this. And I said, we can't participate. I said, I am not bringing my people over there to the service and leave and have to come back home and explain to them what all was right and what all was wrong. I'm not going to apologize for anything that happened because we're not going to be a part of it. Right. And here's what he said to me. Boy, I wish we could take that stand. I was speechless for a little while. I wish we could. Honestly, that's about the very words he used. I wish we could take that stand. And then I got my composure. I mean, I closed my mouth because it was going. And I said, that's the only way we can stand. I said, he said, my church would never give me that much authority. I said, brother, the church don't give me any authority. I said, God's given me the authority. I said, I speak for the church because I'm the pastor of the church. Amen. I'm glad we didn't have to get a committee together right quick and decide whether we're going to meet with them or not. Glory to God. Amen. Because you know what? It would just happen to work in for a good church split. Amen? Amen. And the devil knows that. The devil was inching in. He was coming in. Amen? They had it one more year after that. We did not participate. I had a few calls, and I just told them the truth. Amen? Of course, you were aware. I said the Methodist pastor and I were very close. He had already left. That's the reason this woman was in charge now. Amen? And he even called me and he said, Brother Danny, he said, I understand that you're not participating in the Thanksgiving service. I said, you understand right, brother. And he said, well, I have to tell you, I understand why you're saying that you can't do that. Listen, folks, the devil is slick. He's sly. He's slipping in, my friend. That's who we're fighting against tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, but you just said that some, you can fellowship with some if they're, listen to me, as long as it's scriptural, I can fellowship with them. When it becomes unscriptural, I cannot. See, because they become the enemy. I didn't make them the enemy. They become the enemy. Amen. Why? Because they're not sticking true to the Word of God. If, listen to me, if they'll err in that area, they're going to err in other areas. I mean, all of a sudden, you're going to realize they err in major areas. Amen. I mean, after a while, when you get up and say something about the Word of God, they're going to disagree with you on the King James. Amen. So what do? You do like that old prophet of old, old Barney Fife. You nip it in the bud. Nip it, nip it, nip it.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. I'm telling you, folks, listen, we've got to understand that.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus did.
Right.
As long as folks were not against the Scriptures, Jesus had fellowship with them.
Right.
But when there was, my friend, a division there, Jesus couldn't walk with them. Amen. He expects the same out of us. Amen. We're not one another's enemy. Preachers are not enemies. Amen. We've all got differences. If we were to list your five favorite foods, list them. Five favorite foods. We'd have such a variety. Amen. Listen, that's the way it is with everything in life. We see things a little different. What's your favorite color? We see things different. That doesn't make us wrong. And it's all right to see things different in that area. Amen? But when it comes to the things of God, there's only... See, there can... Favorite colors. There can be a great variety of that, and every one of them be right.
Yeah.
Amen? I mean, there's no need in fighting over it, is it? Some of you, I mean, here, got on a red sweater. You got on a black sweater, Miss Pam. Well, you two ladies, y'all can't get along together. Y'all have nothing to fellowship about. No, that doesn't matter, does it? Because the first thing you're saying is, that's silly. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. But when it comes to the thing of God, we don't draw the line. God's already drawn the line. We just follow the line. Amen. My friend, but we want to fight over... Brother Jeff, I would never wear that color suit. We want to fight over that kind of stuff. And he looks at me and he says, don't worry about it. I ain't buying you one. Amen. But we fight over things like that. I mean, we get our feelings hurt and we fight over that. We're not enemies. The pastor is not your enemy. Sometimes churches get the... we preachers and y'all members. That ain't the way it is. We're a church. We're a church. And it takes... For a church, it takes a pastor and a membership. Makes up a church. Amen? So we're not enemies. Pastor... Spencer is not your enemy just because he preaches things that you're guilty of.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Just because he comes down on something that you've been a-doing, amen, he's still not your enemy. He's not declaring war upon you. He's saying, let's get together with God because this thing can be worked out. You do know God's good at working out sin.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen? I'm telling you, folks, listen, but we'd rather fight than switch, and it ought to be the other way around.
Right.
Amen. And so the Bible is telling us, my friend, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That used to not bother me at all. Principalities. I just read it and went on. What are principalities? Huh? What are principalities? I just looked in the old Webster dictionary that gives you the biblical meaning.
Right.
And it's talking about territories that are run by princes.
Yes.
What is that? Glad you asked. Look over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, Verse number 2. Well, let's start with verse number 1. Ephesians 2. You say, Brother Danny, I thought you was going to preach on how we could defeat Satan. When are you going to get there? When we decide, when we find out what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? He says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, and you, that's me,
right.
And that's you, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What is this? What is this? Principalities. It's things that belong to the devil.
Right.
Things that the devil is running.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's exactly what it's referring to. Do you realize there are more and more scriptures than you would believe unless you've really looked for them that talks about the prince of the power of the air,
right,
that talks about this prince of darkness,
yeah,
that talks about this prince of the world?
Right. Yeah.
Amen. It's talking about the devil. Who is our enemy? The devil.
Right.
The devil. I mean, listen, he is a wicked, wicked individual. Amen. Look, let me turn. I got to do it. I didn't mark my spot. I'm sorry. I know it's in Isaiah. Give me just a second. We're going to go there. Somewhere around chapter 10 or 12. I'll get there. And I was wrong again. It's chapter number 14. The Bible says in chapter 14 and verse number 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also up on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now this is the devil here on earth. He's been cast out of heaven. He's here upon the earth. And now he's making these statements. It's in the Old Testament, but it's happening today. For some reason, he thinks if he can get enough followers that he's going to overthrow God. Today, he believes that. That's the reason, oh my friend, that's the reason he's sowing discord among the brethren. So we'll be so confounded, so irritated and agitated, so we'll be at odds with everybody, so we won't lead anybody to the Lord. Boy, has he ever hit the bell. We've gotten so busy making a living today. Don't get mad at me. We're so busy making a living today. God never told us we ought to be busy about making a living. Well, the Bible does tell us to be about the Father's business. Hello? Somebody needs to answer mine. It's not my phone going off. Amen. He said, but Brother Danny, I just want to listen to me. I'm not against having any money. I had some one time. Well, no, I didn't either. I thought I did. Amen. No, there's nothing wrong with having money if you use it. If God blesses you with it and you use it for God's blessings. Amen. But my friend, listen to me. We need to understand the devil he's trying to take over this world. He's got a plan. He does. Actually, his is the idea. Because it ain't going to work. And he's got an idea. And he thinks that if I can fulfill this idea, then it's gonna overthrow God. But he, of all people, ought to know, my friend, that whatever God says, it's settled. Because God's the one that threw him out of heaven. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, when we understand this and we realize who the devil is, my friend, we can better fight him. Amen. We can better stand against him. I don't want to stand against somebody else that's trying to serve God. I don't want to be confused about that and think that I'm doing God a favor. That's what Paul had before he got saved, remember? He had religion and he was fighting against the Christians because he thought he was doing God a favor. And sometimes that's what we do. We don't know who the enemy is and we just start fighting one another because we know we're in a fight. Amen. We need to know our enemy. Who is it? Satan. The devil. Oh, we need to know Him. We need to mark Him, my friend. When we recognize Him doing work in our lives, around our lives, we need to mark Him so we know who He is readily. My friend, He may dress up a little different next time, but if we mark Him, we'll know Him.
Right.
Amen. Sure. Well, we'll fight Him today and think, hey, it's over with, and He comes right back at us tomorrow. Amen. Almost sounds discouraging unless you know who He really is and you know the outcome of this battle.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Then you'll just shout victory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Right. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, listen. Here He is in chapter 14 of Isaiah. Boy, he's bold.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, he lets you know right quick. He's making these statements and God's recording them. Amen. Oh, thank God we do know who the winner is. Amen.
Amen.
But we go back to the scriptures in Ephesians. In Ephesians. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against, in other words, the devil has already got, we say this, the devil's already got a toehold in things down here on this earth. He's already moved into the politics ring, and he's a great politician.
Yes.
Amen. He's got the government.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Amen. He's in control. That's the reason it's called the principalities.
Right.
You go down. I don't know if it's this way in Georgia, but we got buildings in Alabama. They're principality buildings. And you go in there, sure enough, they belong to the devil.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Right.
They belong to the devil. It's not hard to find that out. I mean, you just go in, they're all cold stone. Have you noticed that?
Right.
About all the buildings are made out of cold stones.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Just like the devil, isn't he?
Sure.
He wants to offer life and all he's got is death.
Yeah.
How cold is that?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I'm telling you, folks, we need to know Him. We need to know Him. We need to know Him. It's all right to know Him. It's even all right to fear Him.
Right.
But you better know how to get over your fear, how to deal with it.
Right.
Amen. Because He'll sure mess you up.
Yes.
We wrestle against principalities, against powers. I don't know about you, but as I read these things, I think, how unable am I to fight? How weak am I? I mean, we talk about being unworthy when it comes to serving God. That's not what I'm. It's not that I'm unworthy, my friend, come fighting the devil. It's that I'm so weak. I don't know how to fight these principalities. I don't know how to stand against a devil like that. I don't know how to stand against the powers of darkness. I can't do that. I can't even battle that. Where do I go to fight?
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
So what do I do? I go to Jesus.
Amen.
After all, He's the one that saved me when I was lost and nobody could do anything for me then.
Right. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Oh, we wrestle against the powers of darkness, against the, there he says, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual, listen to this, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Against spiritual wickedness.
Yeah.
Now, some of you probably didn't agree. You may not. Somebody sitting in here, somebody sitting in that little camera may not have agreed what I said a while ago about a woman preacher. That's spiritual wickedness.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You say, well, I used to like you, but I don't care anything about you. I'm sorry. That's spiritual wickedness.
Yeah. Yeah.
You better learn who your enemy is, because you might be standing with the wrong crowd.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And your little world's going to come tumbling down. Because
yeah.
You know why? God told Jehoshaphat and the people, this battle is not yours. All you have to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And all they did was stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God whipped the
the enemy. I'm telling you, folks, you line up with the wrong one, you have nobody to fight for you. Amen. Against spiritual wickedness. You say, but Brother Danny, that's not wickedness. Anything that's contrary to the will of God is wickedness. David built a new cart when he shouldn't have to haul the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. God killed people because of that. He built a cart to haul that ark on. What's so bad about that? Not a thing is bad about that, except for this. God had told them not to. That made it sin. God said, don't do it. And they did not say, hey, let's go against God. Come on, let's build us a cart. I mean, make God mad. Show him we don't have to. No, that wasn't it. They thought they were doing their king, David, a favor. They thought they were doing God a favor. And so they built this cart, and God killed the men. And you're going to stand against God? You're going to stand and say, well, I can't help. I don't care what the Bible says. I just know what I believe and what I feel. You better look. You may feel dead one day. I've got up some days and wishing I could die. Amen. Because I didn't feel good enough to die. Amen. I was feeling bad. Amen. I'm glad we don't go by feelings. Amen. We'd wake up one morning and say, boy, I just don't feel like living. We die. No, we don't live by feelings. We live by the very word of God. Even as a matter of fact, the Bible says, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. We got a battle to fight in, folks. But we're no good if we don't know who the enemy is. I mean, we're running around out here. What are you doing? I'm looking for somebody to fight. No, we don't go looking for somebody to fight. He already is coming at us. Right. Why? Because whom we believe in. Yes. It's because who we follow. Right. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! I'm in the Lord's army. Isn't it about time we realize we're not joining up? We already joined. Amen. You might say we got drafted. And that was all right with me. That ain't nothing bad. Got drafted in, praise God. I know I got grafted in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We need to know who the enemy is. It'll help us to stand stronger in this battle and see greater things that God's got for us rather than tippy-toeing around and speaking with the enemy and flirting with the enemy and carrying on with the enemy. No, we don't need that in our lives. We need a strong life because we need victory. Amen. Oh, won't you see tonight those that oppose God, though they think they're right, doesn't make them right. But Brother Danny, how can you judge somebody? I never mentioned judging. You're not judging somebody that doesn't stand for that Bible. You're not judging somebody. I've already went there, so I got to stay there. You're not judging somebody when they say, well, there ain't nothing wrong with a woman being a pastor. Read your Bible. Take it for what it says, not for what others believe. Amen. I mean, it's that simple. There's no problem with it, my friend, in the Bible. The problem is in the world in which we live. Amen. We wrestle not. We wrestle not. We wrestle not. Oh, my friend, listen. But we do wrestle. He didn't say we just don't wrestle. In other words, fight. We do. But we fight the devil. We stand for Jesus. There was a song years ago that came out, our quartets used to sing it. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Amen? That's what I want to do, stand for Jesus and let the world go by. You say, Brother Danny, I've lost a little bit of respect for you because you said those things. My God would have thought I would have had a lot of respect that he'd have lost for me too, for me. If I hadn't said those things, I'd rather, listen to me, I'd rather, Miss Pam sings a song, I'd rather have Jesus than anything.
I'll stand for Jesus. It may be, Brother Jeff, it may be that I look around one day and I do not have an earthly friend, not a preacher that I can stand with. It might happen. You know what I want to do in those times? Just stand for Jesus. Just stand for Jesus. And that might come. It might come, folks. I'm going to tell you, I know this. There's some churches that won't have us back. They've had us and they won't have us back. And it's because of some of the things I've said. I'm talking about the Bible. We're talking about some good old King James people. They won't have us back. Because you shouldn't be offensive when you preach. What? Why did they stone Stephen? Did he just get them to having such a good time they killed him without realizing? They stoned him because of the stand that he took. The things he preached got him killed. But wait, I hear somebody yonder in heaven rejoicing. I believe it's the voice of Stephen. I thought he was dead. I thought they killed that rascal. He's yonder in glory land shouting tonight. Full of life. Don't have a scar on him where when those rocks hit him. Mm-mm. We better know who we stand for. We better know who we stand against. Amen. Tomorrow night, Lord lets us, we'll try to finish the message that we tried to start tonight. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's important, folks. We've let this thing slide and go, and we need to believe what God says and the warnings that He gives out. Amen. They're here for a purpose. It's timeless. It's not that it's not been preached here. I know better than that. It's that we didn't hear it. Preacher? Oh, I never heard preaching like that before. Yeah, you did. You just didn't pay attention to it. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Father, Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Thank You for Your word. God, You warn us about our enemy. You let us know. We can turn a deaf ear. We can close our eyes. But God, You let us know who our enemy is. You've marked him, Lord. God, You marked him by letting him have his own way in the sense that he's a liar. He's the father of all lies. Lord, when we see somebody lying, we ought to know who their father is. Yeah, he's marked. Lord, when we want more than what we have to have and we tend to turn away from You to get it, Lord, that's the devil. He's marked. Lord, he's marked. Help us to realize that. Father, You've given us Your written word so that we might have it to hold. We don't have to go by what someone else says. We can just read the Bible and find out what is the truth. God, and yet, Lord, tonight seems like we listen more to the devil than we do to You. God, help us to realize he's marked. He stands against everything You stand for. Lord, as some thinks tonight that he's wanting to help them out and he's showing them more than anybody knows and all that, Lord, God, he's marked. Because he's so wrong in his beliefs. Lord, would You help us tonight, God, to get a hold of reality and truth. Lord, let it ring out in our hearts that we'd realize every time we read Your word, there's someone that lives in us, Your sweet, sweet Holy Spirit. And as we read Your word and He that lives in us says yes, amen, truth. Lord, they identify with one another. Thank You, dear God, for that rings out the truth. Lord, we pray tonight You bless this church, this pastor. Lord, as he stands and as his congregation stands with him, God, would You bless them and make them so strong. And Lord, though the enemy comes against us, Lord, raise that standard. Father, we believe You're able to do that with all of our heart.